With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast Divisional Round Preview coming up for you guys. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, joined, as always, by Mitch Goldich and Gary Gramling. We will go through the four games for you. I hate the board, and I can only find one best bet. One and a half, really. I'm going to try to get to three by the end. We'll see what the fellas say, but let's recap wild card, super wild card week. I went 1-1-1. Really should be 1-1-2. I had the Bucks. We did it when we taped the pod. They were at -8. They got the push. By the time I bet it that Saturday night, it was 9.5. So I was 1-1-1, though. Had the Ravens and lost with the Bills. Mitch, how did you do?
First off, I just want to say I always love when you open the show. Big week, hate the board. It's just a great way to roll into everything. I'm with you. I also had the Bucks, and I remembered incorrectly. I thought all week that when we taped the podcast last week, we had said Bucks were -9. So I was all ready to come in and complain that I had a loss that I wished was a push. And then you told me today it was actually -8 when we taped, because I know it sort of went back and forth. But anyway, all that to say, 1-2-1 for me, if I have a push there. Gary and I were both on the Rams covering, and then I lost. I had the Bills, who won but didn't cover, and I had the Bears covering, which I knew was stupid, and did it anyway, and then it failed. But you buried the lead coming to me first. Mr. Gary Gramling, an award-winning picker this week. Tell us about your unbelievable week cleaning up there, Gary.
I did. Before, on Tally Site, where you pick, you can pick whoever you want, but I put in all my against the spread, straight up, whatever. Against spread, straight up, and totals. And before the Sunday night sort of meltdown there, I was, what would that have been? I'd only missed one to that point. And of course, it was also my best bet in the ESI.com gambling site. So I was something like 14-1 going to Sunday night. And I did end up winning the, they haven't sent me any money or awards or trophies.
How can you be 14-1 when there are only... So the six games, and you can make two bets on each game, so that's 12.
No, 14-1 going into Sunday night,
I missed everything. Straight up spread and total.
Oh, straight up too. Okay.
So 14-4 still won the world, okay, the world championship, whatever they call it on tally site. So I am waiting for whatever reward I get for that. But yeah, it was it was 14-1. And I was feeling pretty good, and man, Sunday night was just weird. I didn't best bet that though. The best bet I missed was I did have the under 45 in football team and Bucks, and like, you know, Mitch and I talked about, if that is any other Washington football team quarterback playing in that game, the game's 31-3. Taylor Heineke just threw the whole thing off.
Are we going to sit here and discuss ifs? Because we'll be here for about 4 months if we're going to do
no,
that.
No. This was the only bad beat in the history of the game.
What was your record on this podcast last week?
A 2-1.
Two and one. So 2-1.
Let's do what ifs for all 256 regular season games.
Yeah, that's right.
That was stunning. I think that's what ended up burning me too, was that as soon as I heard that Heineke was the quarterback, I went and put more money on the Bucks. So it was a Saturday night disaster in the Trainer household.
Should we revisit the Washington San Francisco game last year that was 9-0 played in the rain while we're talking?
No,
definitely not. All right, four games, two Saturday, two Sunday, divisional round, like I said. I like the matchups in terms of like being a football fan and watching them. For betting, though, it's a tough week, so let's see what we got. It kicks off Saturday, first game of the day, Rams at Packers, Green Bay minus 6.5. The total here is 45.5, Gary.
Kind of like the under here on the total, and I would lean Rams because I think it's going to be a low scoring game. This is all sort of anecdotal. It's so tough to get a read on the Rams because you don't know what's Jared Goff gonna be like health wise, and how is he going to fare in what should be a pretty cold weather game at this point. I imagine your thumb probably feels a little bit worse when you have a bunch of pins in it and you're playing in like 25 degree weather. But we'll set that aside. The whole reason Sean McVay hired Brandon Staley to be his defensive coordinator is he was like, man, I cannot solve these Brandon Staley defenses. Vic Fangio-style Brandon Staley defenses here. So Matt LaFleur, same tree, the one guy who is a direct descendant of Sean McVay, worked under him. I think they're probably going to have similar issues against this Rams defense, and I think it just stays relatively low scoring. Again, Lambeau Field is a home field advantage that a lot of other teams don't have, and the Rams coming into this environment, I don't like them to steal this game, but I do like sort of a low scoring battle here and probably like a field goal difference when it's all said and done.
Mitch.
Yeah, so the Rams, who, by the way, Gary and I were both on them to win outright last week, but it's tough to decide who deserves more credit for that, because Gary said he liked the Rams based on the fact that Goff would be playing, and I said, I don't care if it's John Walford starting, I'm picking the Rams anyway. And so who ends up being right? Because John Walford barely played, and then Jared Goff played most of the time. You know, I said,
I don't remember saying that.
I said, I'll take Walford if he's starting. Yeah, you were on the Rams. You picked them straight up. And in your little write-up, didn't you say something about you were picking them thinking that Goff was going to be playing?
Yeah, I wrote that on like Sunday afternoon, though.
Yeah.
I didn't put thought into it.
Anyway, so I don't know who gets credit, but I think we can both share credit. But anyway, put that all aside, I think 6.5 is, I was a little surprised by the line, to be honest, when I first thought. I don't know why. I think my first instinct was just that some of these lines would be lower. I think, you know, everyone talks about divisional round Saturday. Sunday is like the best weekend of the year, and I'm excited. Like Jimmy said, there are some good matchups, and I'm hoping for close games. But both this and the Chiefs game, we've got two number one seeds playing at home, coming off byes, and I think the lines kind of reflect that. But this week, I'm going to hop off the Rams, and I'm actually going to side with the Packers here, even though the line is a little bigger than I thought that it would be. I just think the Packers have been great, and you know, I don't want them to feel like out of sight, out of mind, just because we didn't see them play and win last week. You know, remembering what they looked like down the stretch of the season and knowing that they're at home. Gary, I think you made a great point about the pins in Goff's thumb. You know, even if he's playing, you know, they said he is playing, but that doesn't mean he's 100%. And you're totally right that in the cold weather, that could just, exacerbate the feelings he's got and how much that hinders him. I think everyone wants to talk about this Rams defense trying to shut down Aaron Rodgers, but the Packers deserve credit. Like, they have a good defense, too. And, you know, I said last week a big part of the reason why I liked the Rams in what was an upset there is because I know, just looking at the history of McVay against Seattle and they've beaten them a bunch. They've had their number, and, you know, again, it's a division game with an opponent they know well, and they don't get that boost here. So even though I like the Rams last week, and we talked about them having value as a Super Bowl future possibly, you know, I have also been burned by them a couple times this season. They did not show up every single week. Obviously, they went 10-6, not 13-3. I think Green Bay's better. I think the home field advantage definitely matters. And, you know, I think they're going to be rested. I think if it might snow again, and they've played in those elements before, they blew out the Titans in that snow game at night in Lambeau. And so I like Green Bay here to win by a touchdown.
I love the Packers here. This is the only game I like, less than a touchdown. I just think I'm not sold on. I understand the Rams' defense is good. I mean, it's not really something that's debatable. I just don't think they're good enough to stop the MVP. I think Rodgers is playing at a level that the Rams are not going to be able to slow him down. And I don't think that Rams offense, no matter who the quarterback is, can keep up with Green Bay. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I shouldn't say this. I was going to say Wolford might be a better option than Goff. That's not true. But I have no faith whatsoever in Jared Goff going on the road in Green Bay and winning a game. I still am scarred by Goff basically soiling himself in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. He was so out of his league in that game, it wasn't even funny. And now he's going into Green Bay. You know, what you saw last week, even against, I mean, the Seahawks defense stinks, and Goff struggled a little bit there. And he is banged up, in fairness to him as well. So you throw all that together, I don't see how the Rams can put up enough points here to keep up with Rodgers, who I don't think will be slowed down.
And we probably should just mention Wolford is out, and the backup is going to be Blake Bortles. So how would you feel if you bet the Rams and then Goff has an issue with his injured hand and in comes Blake Bortles in the divisional round against Green Bay?
Again, I don't know if that's a worse option than Goff, because Goff in these big games is he looks like he just, you know, can't handle it.
He got one down in New Orleans. A little help from the uncalled pass interference, but he did get one in his defense.
I mean, really?
Actually, we should say Blake Bortles probably had the game of his life in the divisional round a few years ago. That shootout with Pittsburgh was in this round. So, we've seen it from him on this stage.
The nightcap on Saturday should be fun with people in the stands there in Buffalo, those crazy animals. The Bills, 2.5-point favorites against the Ravens. The total here is 49 and a hook. Mitch.
I think this is by far the hardest game of the week on the board. I love both of these teams right now, and it hurts me to have to pick against either one of them. Honestly, nothing here would surprise me. I could see a close game, and I think either team winning in a blowout, I feel like I'd be able to look at how they finished their season and build a narrative that justified it. Truly, nothing here would surprise me. It's so hard. I'm picking the Bills to win this game straight up just because I have to pick someone. They are at home. I think they've been the better team over the course of the whole season. You know, you could make the argument about who's better right now, and Baltimore is certainly very hot and on a long winning streak as well. I think if the spread was more than 3, I would probably just take the points, because why not get the points and hope it comes down to a field goal? But given that it's exactly 3, my gut says just side with the Bills. So then, you know, I was looking at the total. I lean the over, but again, Baltimore, their defense has been, I mean, they were great down the stretch against basically some pretty crappy opponents. But then they holding the Titans, what they did last week, holding Tennessee to just 13 points, gives me some pause. I think it's, you know, sometimes, if you want advice, people are trying to make money. Sometimes I just want to help people enjoy the games. I think betting the over is just like a fun way to watch this game. I'm not saying that that's the best financial decision, but I mean, I just think this is going to be an awesome game to watch, and you can just root for points. And that's a more fun way to spend your Saturday night, than rooting for these great offenses to get stopped. I want to say leaning the over just because both of these offenses are so fun to watch, and you'd think they're going to be able to go back and forth and score points. And, maybe the Ravens are going to shut down the Bills. I just think it's hard. I'm rambling now. I have no feel in this game at all. It's a stay away for me. I'm leaning Bills. I'm leaning the over, but I don't have strong feelings about it on either side.
Gary.
I kind of like Baltimore. I was going back and forth. Will I best bet it? I'm not quite sure. Maybe I'll go with what Jimmy says ultimately. But I'll put this out there. Number one, there are a lot of trends that show Ravens the last 3 years against really good offenses on the road usually cover, usually go under when it's all said and done. Yeah, their defense travels well is basically what the lesson is there. I'm a little bit concerned about the Bills. I mean, look, they got outplayed by the Colts. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They did get outcoached. Josh Allen, even though statistically he looked good, he did heat up for a little bit in the middle of that game. I think he was a little bit overwhelmed by some of the disguises. He might have been a little bit overwhelmed by the moment. I don't want to overstate it. This was not like anything resembling a meltdown. He didn't look like he was in complete 1,000% command like he had looked over the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season, and that was a little bit alarming to me. I have a soft spot for the Bills. I do generally feel a nice warmth when they win games, so I'm a little bit down on Buffalo right now relative to everyone else, but like I said last week, so red hot, so good in the second half of the season, you can't. It's difficult to bet against them when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I got a few things here. I'm going to push back on Gary here just a little bit because I'm very worried about the Bills too, as someone who's picked them last week, best bet, picked them to, I said 3 weeks ago they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think it was Allen that worried me based on his play. His receivers were atrocious in that game, especially in the first half. They dropped way too many passes. I thought Allen was fine. I wonder if the Bills have gotten a little too cocky, maybe, reading the press clippings a little bit. They didn't come out last week like they were on a mission to basically kick ass, get rid of the Colts, and move on. They let the Colts hang around way too much. Like you said, outplayed. That worried me. The mindset there worried me a little bit. I didn't like the way the receivers played. And more than the receivers and more than Allen, their defense could not stop the Colts at all. I was alarmed by what I saw. I thought maybe I'd go with Baltimore as the pick in this because I loved everything I saw. Even though Baltimore only won 20-13, I have a feeling they're going to be a tough out from what I saw from them. Ultimately, though, I think I'm going to be with Mitch here and go with the over 49.5. I think you're going to see some points in this one. Again, if the Bills receivers catch a couple more balls like they should have, they're in the 30s last week. And I don't, you know, based on what I saw against the Colts, obviously completely different offense because they have Phillip Rivers who can't move. But I could see Lamar Jackson, obviously, not saying anything shocking yet, having a big day on the ground. So that over 49.5 is enticing to me, and that one more than a side.
Can I float a theory here that you've made me think?
Sure.
I think we've talked all year with the playoff expansion that it would be bad for the two seeds, making them have to play an extra game instead of getting the bye. Maybe it might be good for the Bills that they got a little bit of a tune-up last week and dipped their toe in and played instead of showing up. Like, I don't want to accuse Baltimore last year of showing up cocky and getting blown off, but maybe they got a little bit of a wake-up call, and maybe that helps them this week coming into a tougher game instead of showing up after a week off.
Yeah, I definitely like that theory.
Though, are you saying that going up against Tua and the Dolphins offense was not a suitable tune-up for the Buffalo Bills if they got a bye? I don't know about that, Mitch.
It's a working theory. Nothing's final. Yeah.
I do like that theory, I have to say.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
First game Sunday, Browns go into Kansas City. Chiefs, 10-point favorites. The total here, a whopping, and I do mean whopping, 57. Browns will have all their people back, coaches and all, head coach and everything from COVID. Not that it seemed to matter last week when they embarrassed the Steelers. And Chiefs coming off that bye, minus 10 at home against Cleveland. Gary?
Yeah, I'd lean Chiefs. Line's a little bit too high. Total's a little bit too high. The Browns have been very good offensively in the second half of the year. No doubt about that. Part of the reason they've been good offensively, though, is they have been getting out to leads. Your play action is more effective when you're playing with a lead because it's more realistic that you might run the ball as opposed to when you fall behind by three touchdowns. I do just feel that 57 is kind of related to the I don't know what to say about Sunday night. I've never seen a playoff team. It's not even play badly. Just have so many just goofy blooper turnovers in the first half of the game, and the Browns absolutely deserve to win that game, but did they deserve to win it with the number of points they scored and the relative comfort that they won it in by the time the fourth quarter came around? I don't know. I mean, are they gonna have another 35 points in them? Probably not, but it was a weird game. It's a weird team to get a read on right now, but those numbers are just a little bit too much for me to really put any stock in here.
Mitch.
Yeah, I can't believe we are at this point where here we are in the playoffs and I'm picking against the Chiefs, who I've been all over for 3 years now. But I think you have to take the Browns here. And, I was surprised this line was so high. We've talked about this all year, that the Chiefs just don't blow people out. They have not won a game by double digits since they beat the Jets in week 8. Looking at them, one site had the Chiefs at 7-9 against the spread this season. I know, it changes because, you're judging records and when in the week did you get it, and the lines changed everything, but still 7-9 against the spread for a team that went 14-2 this season means they had 7 instances where they won the game outright but failed to cover, and you could easily see that happening here. They've done it in all different kinds of ways. We've seen them get up big and then let teams back into it and backdoor cover. We've seen them fall behind and have to pull it out in the end. I'm on Cleveland here. I have all the respect in the world for Kansas City. I expect them to win the Super Bowl still. as an Eagles fan, I'm well aware of Andy Reid's incredible record his entire career coming off of a bye week, which he did, you know, I forget the numbers exactly, but he was like dominant off of a bye in Philly and then carried that over to Kansas City and continued doing it his whole career. The Browns, you mentioned that they're getting Kevin Stefanski back, and I think it's not just him, but it affects the whole staff. Like, just reading about what they did this week where they had, you know, it's like a cascade where different guys on staff slid into different positions to make up for, well, this guy's out and who's going to take care of our, you know, like replay reviews and all kinds of things. And then looking at some of the specific players that they get back from the COVID list, Denzel Ward is huge, and Kevin Johnson, another cornerback, because obviously you're going up against Kansas City. Your secondary is as important as anyone on the team, just knowing how many weapons they have all over the field. I'm a little bit worried about Denzel Ward just because, you know, I was reading some about, he was talking about what it was like for him, and he did have actual COVID symptoms. I think we've seen some guys, plenty of guys this year held out because they had close contacts or positive tests, but not necessarily symptoms. He was saying that he did actually have it. So, you know, who knows if he's going to be 100%, but I think getting those guys back in the lineup is going to be important. And I also think Cleveland's the kind of team we've talked about this year where they have a running game. You know, if you're looking for a team that's going to keep it close against the Chiefs or try to pull the upset, I like a team that can run the ball and keep the clock moving and try and shorten the game, fewer possessions. I think Cleveland can do that. Now, listen, would it surprise me if the Chiefs come out and score 50 points? Not entirely. But, you know, I think looking at these two teams and their body of work, the Browns over the second half of the season, the Chiefs and what they've done all year, I think you're totally justified thinking that this game's going to be within 10 points.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with this one. I want to pick the Chiefs badly. I you know, will they flip on the switch? I'd have to think so. But 10 is high for a playoff game, especially the way the Browns can run the ball. You know, that can make a 10-point cover a little tricky. I don't know what to expect from the Browns' defense in this one. Out of all the games, this is the game I have the least feel for. I really don't have a lean on a side. I don't have a lean on a... Listen, logically, my brain tells me bet the under because the over 57 is just absurd. But you have to have a certain amount of guts to bet the under in a Chief game, and I definitely don't have those guts. So I'm a big wimp. I can't do it. I have no leans here. I don't know. The Chiefs just... The way they played for the last, like, 2 months of the season, I don't know how to predict whether they can cover or not. So... I might just sit back and enjoy this one and not have any interest. Last game of the weekend, Sunday, 6:40 p.m. It is the Saints -3 at home against Tom Brady and the Bucks, 51.5. I think the best game. I mean, you're right there with Baltimore, Buffalo, but this is a good one. I think, you know, with the quarterbacks and their ages, Brady, obviously, that picture this week, big hit. I'm sure they'll show that on Fox multiple times. And Saints... Field goal favorite, 51.5, Mitch.
Jimmy, you're not going to plug your media podcast? Mr. Plugs here. I thought you'd get
sure,
one.
Sure, Troy Aikman, who's calling the game, was on the SI Media podcast this week. There
yeah,
you
make
go.
Sure you subscribe. Check that out. Nice. There we go.
Yep.
I am on the Bucks here. This is my, I think this is my only upset pick of the week. Not that anyone would be terribly surprised if Tampa won this game, I think. You know, I mean, the story, besides the quarterbacks, obviously, people are talking about the trends and how hard it is to beat a team three times in one season. I'm not worried too much about that. I mean, one of those games was in week one, which is so long ago, and we talked about it at the time. It was basically a preseason game for Tampa. They didn't have an actual preseason this year, and it was Tom Brady's first game in the system, and we knew that was going to be tough for him. And then the other was 38-3, which is a clunker that's a little bit harder to dismiss given the score. But that was also so long ago. I think that was week 9. And I just think Tampa is a much better team since then. I've come around on them a lot. I think listeners of this podcast have heard that. I expected them to be kind of underwhelming this season, and I've been impressed from what I've seen, especially as the year's gone on. They're at the point where I sort of just expect them to score every time they have the ball. I know that they're not going to score every time they have the ball against New Orleans because the Saints' defense is good, but I do think that they're going to get their shots. I thought it was encouraging to see Mike Evans go for 100 yards last week. I talked about Antonio Brown and thought that he'd be a huge help last week, especially if Evans was out. And, you know, given what we thought at the time when we taped last week, we saw that injury from him in Week 17, seeing him go out and go over 100 yards and have a huge second half is encouraging that they've got all those guys. And to be honest, you know, I feel a little bad saying this. I've sort of been waiting all year to fade the Saints in the playoffs. I'm sure that their fans don't want to hear that. But, you know, I had my preseason picks. I had the Saints being very good in the regular season and then bowing out. I think in this round, my pre-playoffs bracket had this matchup, and I picked the Bucks winning here, and I'm going to stick to it. You know, I don't know. I don't want to get into a whole thing about, like, Drew Brees breaking down at the end of the year and Taysom Hill usage and all that stuff that I think Saints fans are tired of hearing about. And let's be honest, like, some of their crushing playoff defeats, the pass interference call, the Minneapolis miracle, like, I'm not going to sit here and put that all on Drew Brees. Obviously, I know they're a good team. I know they're a great roster top to bottom. But, you know, we talk a lot about Drew Brees and, you know, playing in the dome and what an advantage that is for an older quarterback. I think Tom Brady benefits just as much from playing in the dome. And I think we've seen the Bucs offense, especially recently. We saw them in Detroit, in Atlanta, just totally on fire. And I think they're going to be able to continue doing that. And, you know, I've talked about the quarterbacks. It's a very simplistic way to do that, you know, when we've got an entire team and both teams have good defenses and everything. But I just have more faith in Brady right now than Brees. And I'm looking at it, you know, easily a close game, divisional game, but you're getting 3 points. You know, my head says definitely just take the points, especially when I think the Bucks can win outright anyway.
Yeah, I want to pick the Bucks so badly. I wrote down Bucks for my best bet, crossed it out. I'm a little concerned. You know, I think Brady, you know, it took him a while to sort of get in rhythm with Arians and that offense and his teammates. It's obviously all flowing now. Little concerned about what I saw from their defense last week against Heineke. Now, obviously, you play a quarterback you've never seen on film. You didn't prep for. Maybe you're not prepared. They're familiar with Brees. But ultimately, I mean, Heineke was completing passes all over the place. And I think the Saint defense is better than the Bucs defense. I think the Saints defense is actually pretty good, and there aren't really good defenses in the NFL this year. So because of that reason, I'm not going to pick the Bucs because I wanted to, and I won't pick the Saints because I don't like betting against Tom Brady. But I do think the Saint defense probably ends up being the difference here. So I would go minus three, you know, go minus three if I had to make a pick. I'll give you a good gambling tip though that we don't cover here because we do the sides and totals. But on the website where I place my wagers, the Bucks team total for Sunday, now you're laying minus 135 juice, but their team total for Sunday is 23.5. I do like that. I think this will be a high-scoring game, and I think they'll get to 24. I just might be a struggle to get there, but I think they'll get to 24, so that's where my eye will be on Sunday.
I kind of like the Jimmy. You're about to cut me off before I get to this game, aren't you?
My bad.
I jumped in.
It's not like we were talking. Okay, my bad. Yeah,
I jumped in smoothly and then and then yelled about it.
So. You should just jump in when just be like, Jimmy, what the f are you doing?
The one thing I want to throw out there, and this is kind of fitting because I had pulled up this article, I'd bookmarked it. Football Perspective has this article on teams with a chance to beat an opponent three times in a season because there's this old talking point, you know, it's tough to beat a team three times in a season, and, well, you usually don't play a team three times in a season. And Jenny Vrentis sort of threw it in as a throwaway line on our Monday show, and a young or old or middle-aged person tweeted in to say, like, actually, it's quite easy to beat a team three times in a season, and really practically it should be easy to beat a team for a third time because you've already beaten them twice. So with all that in mind, I just think the Saints are the better team. I think they will win this game by more than a field goal in their own building. I do think it stays low scoring. I don't know if I'll get on that under when it's all said and done, because I do think you have some sort of, you know, sort of trailing, put up some points type of scenarios here. But the only thing that makes me hesitate is we have seen in the two matchups the Saints pass rush just completely obliterate this Bucs offensive line. And when the Bucs went on that big run late in the regular season, it was against teams that have no pass rush, the Lions, the Falcons, teams that they just match up well against. So last week, when their offensive line did outplay Washington's very good pass rush for the most part, until Alex Kappa got hurt and Jonathan Allen made a couple plays late in the game, that was encouraging, and that makes me a little bit more hesitant. But I probably will end up best betting the Saints in this one, given the points.
Yeah. I said the Saints defense is good, and then I said I'm going to bet over 23.5 for the Bucs. I mean, when I say that I think the Saints defense is good, they're not going to stop the Bucs or stop Tom Brady. They'll put up points. They're just not getting in the 30s and, you know, low 30s, high 30s like they have been. I think, you know, Tampa lands on 24-27, something like that. All right. Now I think it's time for best bets. I think we got everybody covered. I think I'm back on track. So let's see here. Four games, so the best bets will be a little skimpy, but we'll see what the guys have here to get you home. Mitch, what do you got?
All right, I got 9 bets that I like. No, I'm kidding. I'm on 3 bets this week. All sides for me, no totals. And I think I might be against you guys in a couple spots here, maybe not. But I'm going to take the Packers -6.5 hosting the Rams. I can't believe I'm doing it, but I'm on the Browns to cover +10 in Kansas City, and I will do it Bucks +3 in New Orleans. Those are my 3.
Gary.
So I'm going to go Saints -3 against the Bucks, and I'll go ahead and do it Ravens +2.5 at Buffalo, because if the Bills win, I'll, again, have that warm feeling in my heart, and if they lose, I'll at least have something to console my I don't know, battered feelings.
I'm going Green Bay -6.5. Tweet just came over the old Twitter machine about a minute ago. Obviously, you're an idiot if you go by a sample size of 2 games, but I'm an idiot, so I'll do it. Jared Goff, no touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 16.4 total QBR in 2 games in freezing temperatures, and then it's supposed to be 35 degrees at the high, 26 the low in Green Bay. So lay less than a touchdown there. I would imagine that line's going to go to a touchdown by Saturday afternoon. So if you want to bet the Packers, I'd get on a little early. I'll best bet it just because I don't want to have one. I'll give you over 49.5 Baltimore Buffalo. Maybe the Bills receivers catch the ball and Lamar Jackson runs wild, and we go over the total there. All right. That wraps it up for us for divisional weekend. Enjoy it. We'll be back next week for the title games. It's amazing. Two weekends left after this weekend. Very sad. What will we do without football? All right. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your wagers. Stay safe. We'll see you next week right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, get up here.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.